Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Culture and our own experiences actually shape our belief system, what we end up believing. And that's not always a good thing. In fact, it's not often a good thing. The things that we learn from this world are not always in alignment with the truth, God's truth. This is why the Bible teaches us that we are to renew our minds, that we're to offer ourselves living sacrifices. This is our true, actually reasonable service, but this is a true act of worship, is to offer ourselves to the Lord. But we have this background that causes us to think or see certain ways so that we're not in alignment with what true worship is.
In today's message, Pastor Troy will remind you that your upbringing can play a large role in the way that you worship. When you were growing up, the things that happened around you influenced you to grow and mature into the person that you are today. So, if you never saw worship being demonstrated, you might want to look in the Bible for ways to worship God. If you saw someone worshiping poorly, you can learn what the appropriate forms of worship are. God loves worship from His children. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 4 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in John chapter 4, verses 20 through 26. A.W. Tozer wrote, "It is scarcely possible in most places to get anyone to attend a meeting where the only attraction is God. One can only conclude that God's professed children are bored with Him." In other words, it's not enough that I'm going to show up and learn about God. I need activities. I need other things. Because it's not enough that God's going to be there. Maybe it's true. Maybe our culture has so been entertained that we're bored with just God. We're bored hearing the truth. We're bored hearing about what needs to change in us so that we have hope to make a difference in the lives of others, but also to make a difference in our own life, which we know is in certain places out of order. Maybe we're bored with just God. See, nowadays, many, when they go to a church, they have a shopping list. And in that shopping list are activities. Well, they need activities. They don't have activities at this church. They don't have activities. I need activities. I may not go to them, but I need them. I want them there just in case I want to go to them. Or connection groups. I need to feel connected. I need them to move me into a group. And you can call it the blue group and the gold group or whatever. I don't care what group, as long as you put me in a little group where I can be known and know other people. They'll look for the connection groups. Customer service. Here's what I want. And when I don't get it, and someone doesn't respond to me, they don't respond to me the way that I think they should, when I call, someone should be there. It doesn't matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Somebody should be there. I want customer service. Or, this is the big one. Entertainment for the kids. I think this is the biggest one. Because our culture has begun to revolve around the kids. What the kids want, well, no one's happy. It used to be, you want a happy home, happy wife. And now they've thrown in there the kids too. You want a happy home? Well, the kids are little anarchists. And so you gotta keep them happy. We gotta have stuff at the church for them. So when the kids go to church, and they have entertainment, and they have friends, and they have all this stuff, then we're happy when our kids come running out. Yeah, I like church today. Well, good, this is the church for us. Didn't particularly care about the teaching, but my kids are happy. And so everything revolves around them. Reminds me of the little prayer that this little boy He went to a church service, about 7 years old, went to a church service and had a great time. They had some video games. They had all kind of stuff. And they had, you know, friends, and they were even assigned a friend. Here's your friend. If you're new, here's your friends. Here's your group. Yeah, I got some friends. And so he had a great time back and forth doing things, went home and prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, thank you for the church service today. It was so wonderful. We did this and we did this. I wish you could have been there to have enjoyed it with me." See, he had done so many things. He'd been entertained by so many that he never really connected with God. He may have heard the Lord's name. I'm sure that in a church service, even those that may entertain, they'll say something about the Lord. "We're going to watch Star Wars today, and we'll see how we can see the gospel in it." Something like that. In our text today, we're going to see that if God came down and started a church, he might hang a sign on it that said something like this: "True worshipers wanted." True worshipers. So our context as we get started: Jesus has been speaking to the woman at the well in Samaria, a place that most Jews wouldn't go through, but Jesus said, "I got to go. This is where we have to go." And we know now, looking back, having touched on this text for a couple of weeks, that Jesus had a woman in mind who needed him. She needed the Lord. And so he was going through Samaria, and he just asked her where her husband is. "Hey, bring your husband." Well, he put his finger on an issue in her life, and she said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you're with is not your husband." And she said, "I perceive you're a prophet. I mean, you know stuff." And what was interesting, and this is where we move into today, is she diverts the conversation from her own sin, from her own life, and her own failures. And she brings up a question, and I believe it's a question that's in her heart anyway. You know, it was the first thing she draws from, and she brings it to worship. "You're a prophet. You know the things of God." And the first thing she begins to ask about is, "What's the right place to worship? Where's the right place to worship? Because you Jews say one thing, we say here. So what's right?" You know, worship is a dominant theme in Scripture. It's a dominant theme. It's very, very important to God, this idea of worship. And this is one of the most significant passages on true worship in the Bible. The word worship or worshiper is mentioned 10 times in our text. So let's look at verse 20. It says, "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." So the first thing I want to consider or talk about when it comes to true worship is this: worship can be confusing. Now, not because God makes it confusing, because we make it confusing. It can be confusing because you have one group worshiping this way and doing this, and this is tolerable and this is not tolerable, and then another group saying almost the opposite, another group doing it a different way. This group says you got to wear this, another group, you don't need to do anything. So it can be a little confusing with everyone calling this worship. Everyone's got their own ideas about it. And two things cloud this woman's view of true worship. Two things that we all have. One is her sinful past. She sees things from her own experiences, her own feelings. She's far removed from God. And so she's definitely not someone to answer the question, "This is genuine worship. This is true worship." So she's asking the question. It could be that she uses this whole Jew versus Samaritan argument to not even attend church services. Like, "Well, they say one thing. Who knows what's right? I may as well not even draw near." So her sinful past. Also her background, her religious background. Because she is a Samaritan, she would have heard certain things, because the Samaritans were also a religious people. They had some Judaism mixed in with other things that they had brought in to their own religion. Samaritans only accepted the first five books of the law. That's it. Obviously, the historical books weren't their history, so they didn't accept the historical books, and they didn't even listen to the prophets or the Psalms. They didn't read those. So they didn't have the full revelation of God or what God had done. They didn't know all of God's history. They couldn't go back and say, would God do this? Well, let's look back in history. Let's see if God would do this. They didn't have all of that. So this woman is confused because of her own experiences and her shallow religious background or her wrong religious background. So here's a point I want to make for us today when it comes to worship. Is our culture and our own experiences actually shape our belief system? What we end up believing. And that's not always a good thing. In fact, it's not often a good thing. The things that we learn from this world are not always in alignment with the truth, God's truth. This is why the Bible teaches us that we are to renew our minds, that we're to offer ourselves living sacrifices. This is our true, actually reasonable service, but this is a true act of worship, is to offer ourselves to the Lord. But we have this background that causes us to think or see certain ways so that we're not in alignment with what true worship is. Maybe some grew up in a, or maybe you grew up in a place where your parents said, you know what? It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you don't hurt anyone else, as long as you find something that makes you happy, and as long as you're sincere in it. Just has to be genuine, just sincere. And so you grew up with that understanding, you grew up with that mindset. And because of that, you have a hard time with truth. Not your interpretation of it, but something being true, even if that's not what you think about it. And you have a hard time with structure, any kind of structure at all. Makes it very challenging when God starts to give structure. Maybe you're on the other side. Maybe you're someone who grew up in a very strict home, very religious home maybe. And so when you go to church, you expect rules and you expect people to follow those rules. And if people aren't following those rules, there's no way they can know God. And so you're on the extreme other side. You bring legalism into the church with you. Others, they grew up around traditions. So they grow up and they say, this means and this represents and this is. And oh, you feel it, you smell it, you feel it. That's the Lord.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
And they grew up with these traditions and they feel like this is the Lord. If I don't feel this, if they don't have this, I can't be near to the Lord. All of these are wrong, and this is why we need our minds renewed. So worship can be confusing, but what does Jesus say? Verse 21, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Jesus tells us that worship cannot be confined. It can't be confined to a certain place, a certain activity, or even a single tradition. Worship cannot be confined to that. If your worship is confined to that, that thing has become your God. And you've lost your center on the one true God, because he doesn't need those things. You may feel like you do, but he doesn't need them, and you don't either. Jesus goes on to say it's not about the place. It's about the person. It's not where you worship. It's whom you worship. And he makes it very clear as we go on later that you need to know the one you worship. You can't worship God you don't know. And you can't worship him the right way with the right heart if you don't know him. A mistake that many make is when they think that they have to go to a certain place to worship in order to be close. I've seen this when people want to take the trip to Israel. They want to go to Israel. Got to go. I'm going to be close to God. Only to find they get there and they go, they're at a bus area, a high traffic area, and they walk right around the corner and this is the Garden of Gethsemane. That's it. Right here. I mean, that's a crazy street right next to us. But then they walk in and they built up walls and stuff so you don't see the traffic, but you're really right in the middle of a city. And it's been preserved, but it's a lot different than Jesus' time for sure. And they realize, I'm not as close to God as I thought I was going to be over here. And then they go back home and go back to their apartment, their roach-infested apartment. And they get on their knees and they cry out to God and they find that they can be just as close to God right there in that place as they can be in Jerusalem. Because God is not confined to a place. In the book of Acts, Stephen addressed the religious leaders. And he said in Acts chapter 7, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. He was talking about this tabernacle turned into a house or temple. However, verse 48, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? So, Jesus cannot be confined to a place. You cannot say, I can only worship God here. This is better. Better is what we make it. If it's the things that make the worship good for you, that's an issue in your own heart. So Jesus tells the woman, it's not about the place, it's about the person. By the way, God challenges our heart often to show us where we really stand, where we really are, how we really feel about Him. Think of it this way. You could be in a place where the music is powerful. Consumed. I love when the music, I don't like the music to be way up there in the distance. I like to be in the music. And so you're in the music. It's powerful. The people around you, they're all into it and they're lifting their hands. They're singing with all of their voices. So you join in. This is a great experience. It feels good. You even cry. But as you join in, your life from before this and then even after this is not going to be in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've experienced that, but are you a true worshiper? What would Jesus call a true worshiper? See, a true worshiper is one who doesn't just experience emotions or doesn't just experience an event. A true worshiper is one who experiences God because their life is devoted to pursuing Him, to following Him, I guess would be a better way of putting that. When thieves stop stealing because God has spoken to their heart, when adulterers stop the affair, they confess, they deal with all the consequences necessary, they turn their life around. When cheaters stop cheating because God has changed their life, that's true worship. And that leads to true worship and a true worship experience when we stand before Him. True worshipers, we got to get away from the idea that true worshipers are weird, emotional people who love music. Because that's not what a true worshiper is. There are those. In fact, I have heard someone put it this way. There are some people who they actually worship worship. They worship the feeling. Oh, we got, oh, we got to worship. Oh, are you there yet? Not yet. Wait a minute. Wait. And they worship the feeling, which is they worship worship. We got to worship. I got to get to that place. But you don't have to have music. You can do it a cappella. They do it in many countries. Just sing. Glorify the Lord. It wells up inside because of your relationship with Him. See, worship is not about a place. It's about a person. It's about the relationship that you have with that person, whether you have that relationship or not. It's been said there are not just four Gospels, there are five Gospels. Rodney Smith said this, there are not four Gospels, there are five Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian. And most people will never read the first four. Your life communicates the message of God's truth, that He is there, that He's real, and that He changes lives. So worship can be confusing. Worship, however, cannot be confined to a place or an activity. Look at verse 22. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Next thing let's consider is worship must be candid. Candid, that simply means genuine, open, honest, truthful. It must be real. What does it mean to worship in spirit? Well, let's clarify what it doesn't mean. It does not mean the Holy Spirit. This does not refer to the Holy Spirit. It must be in the basking of. Wait till the Spirit comes. Like we hop on some wave. We're here worshiping, but then the Holy Spirit finally descends, and like a surfboard, we catch on. Yeah, I'm really worshiping now. I'm really worshiping the Lord. I'm in the Spirit or on the Spirit, whichever. That's not what it means at all. See, there's a missing article here in the Greek, ha, which makes it personal or formal. So it's not speaking of the Spirit. It's speaking of worshiping in spirit. The idea is this, from the very depth of who you are, the genuineness of your heart. You know, man is triune. We have a body, we have a soul, which is where the seat of our emotions, our feelings, all that. That's why you can't trust your feelings. They're not the spirit. They're your emotions. They're what's trying to get saved, the soul. And so you can't trust those necessarily, but the spirit of a man inside, the only place we can truly worship and truly make contact with God. We're born spiritually dead in this world. God makes us spiritually alive. And so it's there. It's from that place, a place of truth and real, being real, who you really are, the depths of who you are, that we must worship God. It's a very fine line between, because we can't see them. Doctors can fix anything about the body. They can fix nothing about the soul. And they can't even see and don't even acknowledge the Spirit. In fact, they confuse them.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty and that you explore what He wants to teach you in His Word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your